Greetings, this is the Automatic Deleted Husband. Let's talk about a couple news items, shall we? Because my big concern is, I mentioned yesterday, how, I think yesterday, when I saw Gary and he had CNN on the TV, and I listened to some of the things they said, and it's kind of like, this is garbage. And two examples have come to mind, because way back in, this was... The day's supposed to be right in front of me. Why am I not seeing it? This was a while back. I got an email. I don't know how I got on this list. American Patriot Daily. Like I said, I don't know where it came from, but it. And this was actions speak louder than words. Promises made, promises kept. Allegedly written by Mike. We lie, we cheat, we steal, Pompeo, our former Secretary of State. And again, we lie, we cheat, we steal is a quote of his words when he was head of the CIA. That's what he said we do. You know, lying, cheating, stealing. I can see it consistent with being a follower of Christ. Can you? Think about that one. But, you know, I saw that. And, you know, normally I delete these things, but I kept this one because there was something... It really concerned me because, you know, it's just a PR puff piece, and it goes to a particular audience. the idea, we defend Israel and change the Middle East forever. See, he does appeal to the Christian Zionists, blatantly so. We left the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. Again, what did that do? There was an agreement set up so that Iran, who for decades has said had both the Ayatollahs issued the fatwas, whatever, saying no, we don't do nuclear weapons because that's against the Quran. That was their statement, and there's thus far no evidence that they're doing anything towards a nuclear bomb, but there's the accusation. That's all that matters, is you accuse. And so they live within the agreement. And, as far as I know, there's no evidence that they have violated the agreement. The U.S. walked out of the agreement. Trump signed, we're stepping out of this. And they do not have any longer any reason to, you know, when you enrich uranium, it's a percentage. Low amounts are used for various things, nuclear medicine and things of that nature. Higher amounts are used in a variety of other things, you know, nuclear reactors and whatnot, because they are a nuclear power in the sense that they have, I don't know how many nuclear reactors, you know, because it provides power. It's a fairly common thing around the world, including the United States. They do that. And of course, they have their processing facility. They kept within the Iran nuclear deal, even beyond after the U.S. exited it. They kept within it, even though it was never formally signed, because, you know, the U.S. kept pushing it back. And so they finally started upping it because they have other uses for it. And, you know, the U.S. is saying, oh, look, they're violating the agreement. No, they're not. Somehow I didn't turn on the video. But anyway, they're not in violation of the agreement, as far as I know. But it's PR, because Israel doesn't want it. You know, again, Israel is a country that has allegedly like 200 or so, roughly 200 nuclear weapons. They're not they have not signed on to the non-proliferation nuclear treaty. They do not admit or deny. But, I mean, the evidence is clear, because they persecuted a man who, you know, it's kind of like Bradley Manning, Daniel Hale and whatnot. You expose what your country does and you go to jail for it. Well, they did the same thing with a gentleman who exposed the fact that Israel has nuclear weapons, and they sent him to jail. Gee. Anyway, but... Yeah, so there's so much fraud behind this. Does this mean Iran is a really nice country? No, it's a country. You know, it has leadership and so forth. So there are issues there. But again, like I say, when you accuse somebody, accuse them based on fact, not on fallacy. The whole point behind this is, again, Zionism. Again, Zionism and Christianity are opposites. You know, it's like freedom and democracy. They're opposites. You know, it's anyway. But so you have that. And then you have, he has another thing. We took out the nasty Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani. He was on a mission to cause problems for America. We were a few steps ahead of him. And the entire world is safer because of our decisive action. It was an act of murder. It was simply an act of cold-blooded murder. And so that's kind of an issue, isn't it? When the United States assassinates somebody, which, by the way, we have a habit of doing. We've done that lots of times in lots of countries over the decades. We're not a very friendly country. We are power hungry. But you make this accusation. From what I understand, and I hear it obviously from the Iranians, but from many others outside of Iran. Because there's another statement here about near the end. Near the end is all the send us money. Together with President Trump, we destroyed ISIS and its leadership. I'm confident we saved innumerable lives and ended innumerable unendurable suffering. Bogus, completely bogus. Because the allegation or the evidence is presented that one of the biggest, the person who is, there's strong arguments, again, from Iran and from other sources, strong arguments, the person who did the most to destroy ISIS is Soleimani, the man the U.S. government has executed. Because, I mean, and what did you, so anyway, the whole point of all this, it's fraud. But if this is your team, if you're a Christian Zionist, if it's America, right or wrong kind of attitude, oh, you're going to love this. This is going to be, yeah, go our guy. I mean, he's fundraising. And of course, there's the allegation that he's setting himself up for a possible presidential run. So, I found this man is disgusting. This man is absolutely disgusting. There are other things on there, but I don't need to go to 4 hours. The man is absolutely disgusting. And when he has that Christian aura around him, it makes it all the worse. But the thing that I find fascinating, yesterday, day before, Iran said they went to Interpol. I think it was Interpol. There's a red letter, blue letter, whatever it is, a request. We would like to have this person extradited or charged with this particular crime, whatever it is. And Iran made a request for two people, provided evidence for crimes. President Donald Trump and Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, Mike, we lie, we cheat, we steal, Pompeo. And so they went through the formal channels and said, here's the evidence. We would like to see these men tried for these crimes. You know, again, as I point out, the political left will attack Trump as a Russian stooge because of the Russian influence in our elections. They provide absolutely no evidence. They have this, what they call the Steele dossier, whatnot, you know, which is complete garbage. It's said, yes, this is garbage, but it implies so much that obviously it happened. I mean, they never give up on it. You repeat a lie, tell a big lie and repeat it often. Who has that reputation? Trying to think. Anyway. So exactly what we're doing. telling a big lie, repeating it over and over and over again. Evidence has shown this is a complete lie, so we repeat the lie. And then there's the, but if you're going to accuse Donald Trump of something, accuse him. Again, like I say, the easy example, the Khan-Shukun and the Duma attacks that we did when he fired missiles into another country was an act of war. It's an act of murder. Accuse him of that. The man is a murderer. The man is simply it's very clear. He's a murderer. So if you're going to accuse him of something based on fact. The evidence is right there. It's overwhelming. You know, especially with the Duma thing, the evidence is overwhelming, false flag. And what you do is you take all the people who expose this the false flag and you silence them. One gentleman made an agreement to speak at the UN in the investigation because he was part of the OPCW, an organization for the prohibition of chemical weapons or whatever. They silenced him. They wouldn't let him show up. They wouldn't allow him into the U.S. And silenced him. OPCW fired him, got rid of him, got rid of several people who were whistleblowers, who demonstrated the OPCW lied. They had the information. They put a report, a preliminary report, and then they changed it, and they changed it, and they changed it in order to get rid of any evidence that was blatantly there by the on-site investigators showing it's a false flag. I mean, but anyway, so you destroy whatever you do in order to fit the narrative. You know, anyway, there's so much you can go on. But the important thing there is Iran said, okay, Trump and Pompeo, because obviously Pompeo was very much involved in the assassination of Soleimani. They said, okay, we have here an act of murder. Soleimani from Iran flew to Iraq. He was in a foreign country. And we did a drone strike on him and killed him. It was an act of murder. It was just simply an act of murder. The two people in charge of this, Trump and Pompeo, because this is a fairly normal thing. This is the whole point of Interpol, which is, you know, a joke in so many ways. But he said, we want this to happen. Will it happen? Not a chance. However, if you don't do it, Iran's statement, we will. So there is a clear statement. Iran has stated, we're going to take revenge. I think that's the actual word they use, revenge. And they gave two names, Trump and Pompeo. So I wonder what will happen. What will happen in the next weeks, months, however long they take? Will something happen to one or both of these gentlemen? And will it be obvious that it was done by Iran? Because obviously they can get them. And I really wonder about that. But if something does, well, first, how many people know about this? And we'll hear both sides of the story. And then, if it does happen, you know, prince or duke or whatever who was assassinated started World War I. It was just simply the excuse. Will we see something like that? Or will there be some way to bury it if it happens? I find this fascinating because what I'm confident of is that the U.S. news media will not report it as, you know, they had a case. They'll report it as Iran attacked the U.S. I mean, I think this is blatantly obvious. Because we want to fuel tension. And right now, Iran is the boogeyman. The bigger boogeyman, actually, I think the more destructive boogeymans would be, Israel would be very much a boogeyman because the amount of influence they have in the United States is horrendous and destructive. Oh, it was fascinating. I saw a video of a bunch of Orthodox Jews in New York. I think it's New York. And all had their protest signs out and so forth. And saying, condemning Zionism. I mean, these are the Jews with the, you know, where they don't trim the sides of their beards and so forth, and I mean, and wear the black all the time. So these are the serious of following Judaism, in the sense that they actually subscribe to the Tanakh. And you know, I suggest they miss it. To what degree they go to the Talmud, I suggest it's a problem. But the whole point is, you have a whole bunch of Jews who say Zionism is a fallacy, because Zionism is a political thing. Herschel in the 1800s came up with the whole idea of Zionism, and he was sponsored by a lot of people like the Rothschilds and so forth. So he had plenty of money behind him. And they in turn sponsored Schofield to write the commentary on the Bible in order to make Zionism appear as if it's in the Bible. You know, because it's a commentary, it's not changing the Bible. That was a trickery. And it came up with the idea of dispensationalism and things of that nature. All this stuff was amplified. It's bogus. It's bogus. It's using the Christian community by bringing in the fallacy of Christian Zionism in order to reach an objective and get the Christian community behind the rebirth of the country of Israel, which the Jewish community that I mentioned says, no, I'm sorry, this is not called for, it's not in the Tanakh, and it should not happen. And what we have there is an atrocity. And they even point out what they do to the Palestinian people, the people who live there they still live there, a lot of them do. It's cruel, it's wrong, it's really bad. But see, all those details, what will the Christian community within the U.S., what will the news media portray as these things happen? I mean, how many people will see Jewish community come out as anti-Zionists? I mean, yeah, right. And there's another thing that's in the news media. Again, I'm really concerned what my family, especially my kids, will see. And it was noted by the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, who you know, because he's running for re-election and whatnot, and he made a provocative statement. So, pardon my French as I quote him. He wanted to quote, piss off the non-vaccinated. And by the way, King James, was it he who pisseth against the wall, you know, which is what the Bible says, someone who urinates against a wall, which was, in some translations, simply comes a man, a male. Because, you know, men can stand and women typically sit, you know, when they urinate. But obviously in King James, it was pisseth. Well, and so he made this comment because he is trying to say the people who are not vaccinated are a danger to society. He even said they're not French. He is one of the people who is very upfront on fueling this divide. And I find this fascinating because there's continuing growing evidence. From what I understand, and you'll probably want to hear about this, because it's been talked about for months, both the World Health Organization and the CDC are backing off and actually have stated, oh, we shouldn't be using the PCR test because it doesn't give good results. And because the reason is the PCR doesn't give good results, especially because you have, again, as I pointed out, the cycle count. And when you go above somewhere in the 20s, it becomes useless. And I mean, even the Right Honorable Lord Fauci said, I think he said high 20s or whatever, beyond that was useless. And most of them are done, you know, in the high 30s or 40s. And again, it's logarithmic. Yeah. It doubles each count. So, you know, a count of 30 is a billion times, a count of 40 is a trillion times of amplification. It goes from quiet to loud. I mean, much louder than that. But anyway, the whole point is, it's a fallacy. Not Mueller. It's somebody, the guy who invented the PCR test, who just happened to die in 2019, said it's fraud. And he also called you know, he got a Nobel Prize for this, and said it has its purpose, but to say whether or not you have a particular thing is useless. And he's also, again, as I pointed out, one that called Fauci a egotistical fraud. So you have all this information, and you have the political figures saying, dividing the population between the vaxxed and unvaxxed. You know, it's like dividing people from, oh, you're white or black. If you're the wrong skin color, you're bad. I mean, we see that very strong in the U.S. as there's a growing, you know, it used to be the anti-black thing. Now it's the anti-white thing that has become real strong. It's wrong. Both cases is wrong. Because, you know, there's this thing about being a human being created in the image of God. Anyway, I'll point to the Black Families Matter video, but, you know, anyway. The thing is that there's that, it's that constant idea to divide. As I pointed out, the way somebody gets power is you have to divide people. And we can't divide because it's that country that we're afraid of. You know, there's a little tension with China, with Russia, and so forth, but that's not that strong. you know, it's so fascinating. I don't know how much is talked about in the U.S. news media, because the people in Europe, Germany in particular, like to have warmth in the winter, because being someone who spent a couple winters in Germany, it gets cold. Well, it gets cold in the U.S. too. So you need some kind of fuel in order to heat your home. And a lot of it's done by coal or nuclear. And so what they've been doing is shutting down the nuclear plants and stopping their coal because of the environment. We're trying to protect the earth. So what we need is natural gas. And so they contracted to get it from the largest supplier of natural gas, Russia. And so they have a pipeline, several pipelines to do all this stuff. And they just built a new one called Nord Stream 2, which is a huge pipeline, goes under the water in the North Atlantic there. And it's a mechanical marvel. It really is. What they have done, especially the way they laid the pipe, is really fascinating. It took a long time to do. It was finished in late summer, I think. You know, they laid the last pipe. It's connected, and they figured it'd be a month or two of testing and so forth, and they'd be ready to turn around on. I think it was supposed to be November, in time for people in Germany getting cold. But the U.S. has been trying to sanction this whole thing for years. And they have recently, you know, because, you know, think about it. Sending natural gas through a pipe from basically almost a neighboring country, or have it come across the Atlantic on ships. What should be cheaper? But because of the anti-Russian sentiment, and because it's a really good political football, it's been delayed again. So it's ready to turn on, but because of politics, it won't be turned on until right now. I think they're talking maybe summer. And a lot of people in Europe are really complaining because their heating bills have skyrocketed because the price of fuel has gone up. You know, again, they turned off coal. Or turned off a lot of coal. They turned off a lot of the nuclear plants. I think they actually shut down two of them or whatever. So they needed another source of heat. And they said, okay, here it is. The pipe's in place, but we won't turn it on. It's stupid. It's really stupid because the whole objective is to be anti-Russian. It's kind of like, oh, they're bad. Why? Really? Why? So, I mean, this stupidity, but it's power. It's power. It's power because of money, and it's simply power because the U.S. needs to maintain their hegemony. And again, I would suggest, let's say by 2030, you'll see, because you see it happening right now, you see the Russia, China, and India, because they're virtual neighbors. China binds the three together. And the three of them as... you know, they're working together. Yes, there's tensions between China and India. Oh, yeah. But especially, you know, there was tensions between Russia and China. A lot of that has been healed. And I have no doubt the same thing will be true with China and India. Because they're becoming the dominant economic bloc. You know, there is the idea that potentially already China has become the largest economy in the world. They're number two. They may be number one already. But the trifecta, the Russia, China, and India together, easily much bigger economy than either the European Union or the U.S., and perhaps even more than the combination of the two. So we're losing that economic strength. So what we need to do is be the bully. And my concern is it's going to impact my kids big time. And it's going to be based on lies. So, you know, you have, again, you have the excuse of COVID. And when the World Health Organization and the CDC is saying, well, we got to back off of the PCR tests. But what's in the news right now? I saw, because, again, I don't watch CNN, but I do occasionally look at some of the articles from Al Jazeera, which is basically the international version of CNN, I mean, or the Qatari version. Most of it's really bad, but it's well-produced because it's extremely well-funded, and every once in a while they have some fascinating things. But you got to make sure you understand, because, again, made a case, a statement that apparently, I think it was the U.S. For the first time had, was it one day, one week, whatever it is, a million cases reported. But again, the stupidity behind this is so egregious, and how many people can see it? They changed the definition of case. Again, a case used to be you were sick. Now a case is you tested positive. You're using a test that gives you a horrendous number of false positives. There was a concern 6 months, year ago, whatever. I think about 6 months ago, there was some more public discussion of, well, we shouldn't go to these, you know, over 40 cycles in the PCR test. We need to back off on this. Because it was reported how many cycles. Now they don't report it. I have no idea. So you have a million cases because you have a million positive tests. So how many of those positive tests are really positive because somebody actually has COVID-19? Plus, they're asymptomatic, meaning they have tested positive, but they're not sick. So not a case in the way a case used to be defined. So if I only test 100 people and I get a 99% positive, even though they're false positives, I can say, look, 100 people tested positive. If I test a million people, I can say, oh no, it's grown. It's, oh my, the world is collapsing because we have a million positives, a million cases. It's stupidity. It's absolute stupidity. You know, and one of the concerns I've had, because I've seen it so often now, when I go to a store, because I use cash, and the change thing, and especially when there's a young teller, often they can't make change. If the cash register doesn't do it, or if you know, it's 38 cents, whatever, and I give them 40 after they've already rung it up, so they have to. I've seen people turn to a calculator to figure this out, or give me the wrong change. I've had somebody actually give me like $5 too much, or even more than that. I said, wait a minute, stop. Because if you can't add, we have any idea that you're being the false positive, the million cases, we have any idea it's a fallacy. Because if you can't add, you won't understand the stupidity behind that. And that's the generation that my kids are growing up in. Even if they do well with, can see this, their peers won't. And that's the issue. Because we're being culturally divided. And their peers will not understand these things. I'm seeing a growing number of people that who are silenced. You know, YouTube and Google, whatnot, they will silence these people. It's a power play. When you show evidence of the fraud, you're silenced. But the number of people who said what I've said, there was no pandemic in 2020. Zero. None. You see there's a growing number of people saying that. But they have to be silenced. Reason being, there was no pandemic in 2020. But all the people who called the pandemic, well, if you show the fact that that's true, they'll be shown as wrong. And they can't afford that because they want that power over the culture, over society, over the world. So you have to build the lie and silence the truth. So if you worship Mike, we lie, we steal, Pompeo, or if you bow at the feet of the science, Dr. Science himself, Fauci, you're an absolute 100% fool. And you probably have no hope. But there is the grace of God. And that's my hope. When somebody uses the Christian aura like Pompeo does, or uses the fallacy of being, we are science, or I am science, or whatever, Fauci, it's a fraud. No, he is an authority. They have no science behind it. Again, science is the knowledge of something or the observation of something. There's a whole bunch of lawsuits out all over the world in various countries where scientists have gone and says, can we get a sample of COVID-19 to actually see if it exists? And countries say, no, sorry. Lawsuits are in, but no, sorry. And the problem is this idea, like Macron, get your vaccination. Biden, you know, says the same thing. Get vaccinated. I want to kill you, is basically what he's saying. You know, you look at Hitler, who, and because I recently saw an article about this, or somebody, oh, yes, I saw it, and it was, I think, the Babylon Bee. That would probably be, Hitler's complaining, he is allegedly responsible for however many million Stalin several times more, and so is Mao. And again, Pol Pot has probably the largest percentage of his own country. But they don't get the news. Hitler does. And I think what's happening is now Fauci, Biden, Macron, whatnot, say, no. We need to do better than that. We need to outdo Mao. Mao is, I think, usually I hear 90, 100 million from Mao. Can it be done with? Yes. How do you do it? Well, do you bomb people? Kill them? Shoot them in the head? Like, especially Mao did? Or do you get people to want to die? They may not knowingly know that they're wanting to die, but you get them to do something that will kill them. And again, the way to kill somebody is not to kill them today, but to kill them in weeks or months or maybe a couple years later. Stop them from reproducing and have them die within a year or 2 years or so forth. And you see it happening. You know, and what you do, again, you have a twisting of statistics behind, again, when I was there yesterday and listened to a couple things talking about all the people in the hospitals covered up with COVID-19 and young children and whatnot who, because of they're not vaccinated, absolute baloney. Because people will say that, but when you look at the statistics, the evidence that is allowed to see, it's completely opposite. You know, it's just like when the first pandemic, when the pandemic started in 2020, oh, the hospitals were overflowing. And you had people going to hospitals around the Cape taking their cameras, and they were empty. Simply empty. What you would do is you'd push them all into one hospital, and then you would exaggerate very much. And one of the things they do now is because they fired so many people, so much of the medical staff at hospitals all over says, no, I'm sorry, I won't take the vaccine. So you have a whole lot of medical professionals say, no, I won't. And therefore, a lot of people, it costs them their jobs. So the hospital's understaffed. And so if they have even a normal caseload, especially the so-called winter burden, when people show up because they have the normal winter flus, it's going to look like, oh no, the hospital's overcrowded. Well, it's understaffed. And it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. Anyway, there's so much of this information available, but it's kept from people because you've got to keep the narrative up. Because again, it's the same example I've used before about if you wore the armband during the previous Reich and what it would cost you to take it off. What would it cost somebody who has been promoting the idea of, oh, we need the vaccine. We people are dying because they're not vaccinated. Oh, people are dying because of the seasonal flu. What would it cost you to say, no, I was wrong? You have a huge number of people say, okay, we're not telling the truth, but we will convince ourselves we're telling the truth because it's loving, it's caring, and I don't want to do anything else because I'm making a good income and it makes me popular and so forth. It builds my ego and gives me a fat paycheck because, you know, I'm especially news media or political parties and whatnot. We won't compare him to Hitler because Hitler has a bad name. But, you know, if you go to China right now, the Forbidden City, you have that big, huge image. Mao is in a glass case. That's where he's buried, so people can come and see him today. They have the big picture of him outside. People just honor him today. Probably the person who is more responsible for more deaths than anyone in history is honored today. That'll probably happen to the various people who are going to be responsible for the huge number of deaths that will come from the vaccines and so forth. You know, a whole lot of people who are in the industry have saying, no, this is a problem. But they're silenced. My kids, at least some of them will probably outlive me. I'm not sure if that's going to be true of all of them, as I described previously. But, you know, I've said many times, you know, there are ebbs and flows in the culture and society throughout the centuries. And sometimes things get worse, sometimes things get better. And there's often an idea of, again, it's the Hezekiah's tragedy, where he said, at least it'll go good during my lifetime, which I would suggest is one of the biggest blunders of his life. Because I want to take on pressure for my kids, the tragedies, so they can live at a time of peace and tranquility, because I love them. And right now, they're being set up for a really, really difficult life. They're set up for a life where their peers are just going to be, I'll show you an example, but since I don't use one, walking around with their cell phone, with their head stuck in the cell phone, unable to communicate with others. They'll be vaccinated, so they won't have much energy, because again, the microclots basically will wear out your body and prevent you from doing a lot of things. Again, if I took that, my walking is probably over. Because there are examples, numerous examples of this. That's going to be their peers. Will any of my kids be able to, pardon the word, think? Will they be able to think? Will they be able to reason? Will they be able to engage others in dialogue? Will they be able to look at somebody face to face? Will they be able to shake hands without fear? Will they not fear what they fear, the Isaiah 8? Not fear what the world fears? Or will they be scared to death because their president and their chief scientists have said, live in fear because this stuff is going to kill you? It's fraud. Will they say, my trust is in the Lord? Or will they say, hail victory? I don't know. I'm striving. I'm getting really long again. One last thing. I'll just give you some links. If you go to the kozlowski.org/photo, there's some more photos on there. I do have one in 2015, labeled Distinguished Gentleman. So if my kids want to see a delightful picture of their dad and Jim Leonard, it's superb. It's a classic picture. It really is. But I also put a section together, started putting some other things online from other sources. I mentioned, you know, obviously I've used so often the image of the one gentleman who didn't give the Nazi salute. From 1936. Well, the image is now there, so you can get it and feel free to use it. And I also have this one, the NSA, the only part of government that really listens to you. And by the way, that T-shirt right here on the wall has that. It's the NSA, the only part of government that really listens. I bought that T-shirt from the artist who did that the original image. This is apparently the Libertarian Party that did this image, but you know, anyway, you know, so there's stuff under, well, Kozlowski or doc or slash photo comma stuff. But there's also, I've had some images from a group called the Three Thought Project. And I right now only have one on there because I've mentioned this image before, because they took that picture of the guy not doing the salute, colorized him, put everybody else in the mask. There's the picture. So it's delightful to see all these people wearing a mask, giving the Bellamy salute, and one guy in color doing this. And if you recall, watch this. I'm going to do something. Yes, indeed. You know, I have this picture of this absolutely gorgeous woman. And this is after she abandoned me, but then I have this one. This is the one I used in the video that that YouTube took off as hate speech. So this is the picture, and with my caption under it. Auguste, Gustav, and me. So when we talk about my allegiance is to Christ, not the state, that fits this. Same thing here. My allegiance is to evidence, not authorities. And that's what you see in this image, where they put everybody in masks. Because, I'm sorry, it's ridiculous. Will my kids be ridiculous? Or will they say, gee, what's true? Okay, one last thing. Remember, because one of the things I'm trying to study this all the more. You may have heard somebody say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. When Jesus spoke this, you know, he says he is the truth. And we see this in John 1. We see this many times. He is the truth. What is the word truth? It is a negation of being covered in the Greek. So basically, it's not something hidden, but something revealed. And I'm trying to get a better grasp of this, because I think, you know, again, the words give you a significant clue of what they mean because of how they're made. Not hidden. The truth is simply not hidden. And again, I described how, for the non-elect, you know, their eyes have been blinded. You're hidden. He is hidden to them. Willfully. That was the Romans 1. So, if Jesus Christ is not hidden from you, then you're seeing the truth. He's given you the evidence. It's right there in front of you. If you have your eyes opened, you will see from Genesis to Revelation, it is a consistent message. It is a love letter to his elect. And again, I'm biased. I want my kids to be part of that elect. And beyond question, beyond any question, and I think you have no doubt, I want that from my wife, because I love that lady. So again, one of my short videos, but I hope it's informative. Please, something like the tensions that have been posed on, the acts of murder by the U.S., by Trump in Syria, by Pompeo in Iraq killing the Iranians, Israel's constantly killing people in Syria. These are not people to look up to and respect. These are murderers. Don't fall at the knees of Christian Zionism, because again, that's like falling at the, it's like advocating freedom and democracy. They're opposites. Because democracy The minority is not free. It's simply that simple. Simply that simple. Good English. It's simple. It is that simple. So don't fall into the party line. Follow the Lord. And when you see the, oh no, COVID-19 is killing people because look at all the cases that we have. It's bogus. You're being fooled. It's a tool used to give others control over your life. Resist. Or you'll never get it back, your freedom. For freedom's sake, Christ has set you free. Galatians 5, a verse that my wife has misused. Don't throw your freedom away by saying, oh, I'm going to submit to the authorities. Where you're free, stay free. And when the moment comes, make sure you're like me. That's me. And as I've questioned before, is that you? My lady, I love you.